For 4 years, Lisa's been attending recovery meetings at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in Jeffersonville. She'd hop in her car once a week and make the 30-minute drive to get there early, unlock the church's big red doors, and make coffee.
I open up the church for our meetings. I make the coffee. I get everything ready.
But that all stopped in March after Governor Eric Holcomb issued a stay-at-home order, locking the state down to slow the spread of the coronavirus.
I was due to celebrate my 9 years. That Friday, they called and said that everything was being shut down. And I was due to celebrate on Monday. And it really hit me hard. And I haven't been here since.
It's been a lot of work, but Lisa stayed sober through the pandemic. Data from County Health Administrator Dr. Eric Yazel show that for many others in the area, that hasn't been the case.
We were down about 40%, as far as overdose deaths and ER visits for overdose. And then once COVID hit, you saw that trend right back up again.
Overdose numbers in Clark County began skyrocketing when the governor locked down the state. By the end of April, overdose deaths were up 150% compared to last year. May saw the most overdoses since the county started keeping track of the data roughly a decade ago. And with about 2 months still left in 2020, the number of overdoses in Clark County has already surpassed last year's total.
That if it was me and I was still in active addiction and that was what I needed to make me okay, the pandemic would be an excellent justification for that. And so I'm not surprised. Because that's kind of the way our minds work.
Counties across the state have reported overdose increases too. Indiana drug czar Doug Hunsinger says before the pandemic, Indiana was a success story. The state was seeing overdose deaths decrease by twice the national average.
We've seen a 79% increase in our overdose events at emergency departments. We've also seen a 63% increase in EMS naloxone administrations.
Lisa says many recovery groups, including her own, moved their meetings online at the start of the pandemic, and other options, including treatment centers, have been open. Yazel will tell you that not having those personal connections and stability that come from group meetings, employment, and just regular life likely exacerbated feelings of isolation and hopelessness that were already on the rise because of COVID.
It's absolutely, an unintended consequence. And that's one thing I say is some of these public health decisions we make, we can't do them in a vacuum because my philosophy, at least, locally here, has been to kind of stay in the middle. If you're too aggressive, you're probably putting people at unnecessary risk. But if you're too conservative, the things you're trying to protect, some of that fallout outweighs what you're trying to protect in the first place.
The good news is that Clark's overdose numbers are beginning to level off a bit, and many groups have gotten back to holding smaller in-person meetings.
The big silver lining I take is the fact that even though our overdose activity has increased, our death rate has not increased as much. And so that tells us that some of our programs are effective.
One of those programs that stayed open was the County Syringe Exchange Program. That's especially important because in 2015, neighboring Scott County was the epicenter of an HIV outbreak. Clark was also affected, and if drug use has gone up,
it does lead to concerns that you'll have, increased HIV or other IV drug use related infections and things like that that are going to start popping up in, like you said, the next 6 to 12 months.
Clark's needle exchange is set to expire in July of 2022, the same time as the state's law that allows the programs to operate. Yazel says the program is critical to keeping potential HIV cases down and hopes that when it's all said and done, this will be another example for state officials to see the effectiveness of syringe service programs. As for Lisa, she's not sure when meetings at St. Paul's will start back up again, but she'll be there when and if they do. For WFIU News, I'm Mitch Legan.